the Al Reed Show.
Such is life. Life is what you make it. Such is life. Show them you can take it on the chin with a grin. When Mr. Gloom comes around, don't let him in.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes, because from here on, we're turning life round just to show you the funny side. Introducing us to ourselves, here's Al Reed.
She says, as good as you, she says, anyhow, that when the fright month you went to tonight, you know, because our jacket just been for loafing the garden on. before that, should have told you that Fred had been down. I could see there was something wrong. He says, what's this about our Eunice? I thought, hello. I says, for what I see, never let on. before that, I should have told you. She jumped up. She had one or two. You could see that. She says, we're not blind, you know. I thought, right, monkey. Do forgive me. Did I disturb you? I'm awfully sorry. Mind you, these are disturbing times, and especially when such vital issues are at stake. I mean, we all like to sink back in that armchair with a paper and solve the problems of the world. But do we? You've hardly time to work out where we're going to get the battleships and planes for defense, let alone where we're going to get the thousands of millions to pay for them. And what does the wife say? When are you going to get a latch on that gate? That's the wife from the kitchen. Gate? Why? What? I'm sick and tired of telling you about it. Been bang, bang, bang all night again. I don't know. What with that gate and that alarm, tick, 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 tick in my ear, you flat on your back snoring your head off. No wonder they've started calling me Tallulah. Well, I can't help it. You must have heard that gate 3 or 4 streets away. No wonder to me we've any gate left. I don't know what's come over you. You have no interest in this house at all. It's anything for the easiest with you. So you wedged it open with a brick until my mother fell over it? Pity about her. I'll bet we've had every dog in that neighborhood in our garden. Then when you roped it up, nobody could get in or out. All that fuss we had when the men came to empty the dustbins. I won't forget it, I won't. I'll give them we're bin men, not mountaineers. Well, all right, I'll soon fix the gate for you. You touch nothing. Thing you're fixing before. The rows we've had over that lock on that bathroom door. You see, you fixed that, and the first time you had a bath, I had to run round for the joiner to get you out. Now, we don't need to go into all that. No, well, I've had enough of it. I'm having that gate put right. I've asked them to send a man down to make a proper job of it. A man just to put a latch on the gate? Why do you do things like that? Good heavens. It's only 5 minutes of a job. Not going to pay him to turn out. Blimey's here. He looks such a fool. Only a matter of 2 screws. Well, I don't know what I'm going to tell him.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Will you come and give us a push with this lorry?
Pardon?
I say, can you come and give us a push? We're stuck.
Well, I can't see what that's got to do with me.
You will do. It's stuck in one of your flower beds.
Well, I thought you'd come to fix the gate.
Gate? You can forget that. I say you can forget that. That fell in bits as soon as he took the injured off. I wish we'd have known. I say, I wish we'd have known. Only he's just gone back with the handcart and my coat was in it.
Well, I could lend you an old Mac.
That's not the point. My dinner was in it.
Well, I didn't think it would take long.
Of course. No use starting anything now. I say, it's no use starting anything now. Well, you can work it out for yourself. When we've had our lunch and got back for what we should have brought, by the time we get started, it'll be time to knock off. Have you seen your gatepost?
No.
Rotten right through. I wouldn't hang my hat on there, never mind a gate.
Well, they were dug in firm enough.
Aye, that's what we thought. We've had to rip your pants up to get them out. And that's a job we never expected, you know. I say that's a job we never expected.
No, it was just a latch, really. You see, my wife...
Have they said anything next door about this wall?
No.
They will do. You only need a touch and that wall's over. How long have you had this rockery here?
Well, it's only just been put in.
They'll have to come out. See, this gate should open the other way altogether. Of course, I wouldn't have the gate here at all if it was me.
Wouldn't you?
There's only one place for that.
Oh?
I'd have it built on the side of your house. Of course, it'll block your cold place up, but you could always bring your French windows open and put your cold through your lounge.
Well, it seems such a lot for just a gate.
Well, that's what I'd do. I say, that's what I'd do. Please yourself. Doesn't matter to us one way or the other. I say, one way or the other doesn't matter to us. But in any case, you'll need that wall pointing. How far up, I can't say. I'll tell you better when we get your scaffolding up.
Well, I don't know what to say now. I thought it was just a latch on a gate.
Aye. That's what it said on my job card. Full of them tricks at our office. Well, here's a case in point. If I'd have had the presence of mind to swap your chimney, you'd have had no fire tonight. And I'll swear they do it on purpose, don't they, Al?
Ha!
Did he tell you? You had a right belly full last week, didn't you, Al?
Aye.
Did that. Job comes in, factory chimney, pouring down. He goes up, soaking wet, comes down. Wrong factory. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. I know. Do you mind if I take one of these bricks?
No, what for?
If I don't wedge that gate tonight, my wife will throw me out.
Such is life, and what is life without music, especially when it's more of that magical music played by one man at three pianos. Stand by for those hey presto fingers of Ken Frith. Well done, Ken. Clever, that, isn't it? Isn't it clever, that? How do you work all that out?
Well, as a matter of fact, Al, it's really quite simple. Mm. I just make a couple of recordings, predetermine the tempos, synchronize them, then reproduce them on pre-fade through a pair of cans, and coincide the lot with the direct transmission from the stage piano.
Yes.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice, isn't it? Hmm.
Mind you, I've been tinkering about with this recording trickery. And I think I've got an act to beat Ken Frith and his magic piano.
Oh, yes? What's that?
Al Reed and his tragic voices. I simply make 3-4-7 recordings, sterilize them, play them back with a bent pin, take away the number I first thought of, and I get this.
Paint yourself a rainbow around your heart. Any time that the world lets you down, all that you do, take some green from the field, uh-huh. Some red from a rose.
What else?
Some white from the sand.
No rain?
Who needs rain for rainbows? Add a little blue from your baby's eyes, and some gold from the gold in her hair.
What a very pretty picture.
A little love can be a paintbrush for your work of art. So paint yourself a rainbow round your heart.
Paint a rainbow round your heart.
Paint yourself a rainbow
round your heart.
Any time that the world lets you down,
when it gets you down, wake up and paint
some
down.
Green from the field.
That'll make it greener.
Some red from a rose.
Rose is not the greener.
Some white from the sand. Who needs rain for rainbow? And a little blue from your face.
What you make it.
And some gold from the gold in her hair. A little love can be a paintbrush for your work of art. So paint yourself a rainbow round your heart.
Oh, it's nothing that, really. Nothing at all. It's just nothing, really. If you think about it, putting gramophone records together seems a lot of trouble. When you get such a good effect by simply putting two radio sets together, and who else could put two radio sets together but Tony Fain and David Evans?
On record of that popular pair, Bob and Alf Pearson.
Ray of tulips again, tied up together, I sent a letter today, a spray of tulips together, asking the weather, love's dream had gone astray, for there's a meaning to all the flowers. They tell a story that never lies. This purple heaven means lonely hours, and tulips weep for a love that dies. And so I pray when they reach you, if they can teach you all that is in my heart, my spray of tulips together, bring us together, never again to part. Never again to part. Never again to part.
Thank you very much, fellas. That really was wonderful, and it's grand to see you. And what a surprise. But now that you're here, don't go away, because here and now, we are taking the lid off matrimony. Matrimony can be traced back through the ages to the time of prehistoric man. In fact, according to the leading authorities on the subject, it is definitely here to stay. Take the results of this recent national survey on marriage.
Wise were asked, what made you get married in the first place?
3% said, I sometimes want...
82% said, it seemed such a good idea at the time.
And in answer to the question, would you get married again, husbands reacted as follows.
10% said, not without asking the wife.
4% said, leave me alone.
86% said,
you'll be lucky.
I say, you'll be lucky.
Mind you, finding the right partner is a matter of vital importance. Whereas many of us are fortunate enough to meet the right person as the result of an introduction, chance encounter, or even a dropped handkerchief, there are others who prefer to have their marriage arranged in the quiet and confidential surroundings of a matrimonial agency. Take this typical scene.
Arthur, I take it that you've read the rules and regulations. I mean, you do understand there's no money refunded after 24 hours.
Aye.
Right. Now, exactly what sort of wife did you have in mind?
Well, about 5'10"
Yes.
And 42 eps. And 3 chins.
Yes.
And near enough to about 18 stone with a moustache.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I don't see how I can find your wife like that.
Oh, I don't want you to find me one. I want you to get rid of the one I've already got.
But, of course, true love will always find a way. And it all starts when the girl takes her boyfriend home. For them, time stands still, and they live in an enchanted world of their own. But what about the poor parents? Where do they come in?
Mother!
If they're not out of that front room in 2 minutes, I'm going in with his hat and coat. Oh, you can't do that. Daddy loves her.
Aye. I love my easy chair, but he's sat in it. I don't like him. Never have done.
Shh. He'll hear you.
Do him good. And don't shush me. I don't like his attitude. Standing with his back to the fire, airing his knowledge. What does he know about politics? I'll give him it's time we had him out. I wouldn't care, but he's never worked for months. Then he has the cheek to ask me if I know anybody who wants a good manager. Only saw him in a pair of dungarees once. I gave him credit for finding a job, then I found out he was dressed up to go square dancing. And I'll start locking those cigarettes up. Another full packet again last night. I go in to get one this morning and all I can find is a tray full of fag ends. Well, I don't know what you can see in him. I don't. The money was spent on that girl. He can speak 14 languages and all he can say is tar.
Mind you, it's not all love and kisses for the prospective son-in-law. Sooner or later, you'll have to face the ordeal of tackling the girl's father. We all know what an embarrassing experience that can be. Now then, Mr. suppose you know what I'm here for? Well, might as well come straight to the point.
I'd offer you a toffee, only I've got none. You don't look so bad off it. Or, put it another way, even the bees and caterpillars, it's not as though I haven't given it a lot of thought. Look at it this way, or... put it another way around, You see, it's not as though I've done anything to be ashamed of. If you'd just let me know one way or the other, could I have a drink of water? Of course, that's all very well, but sooner or later, it's the girl's father who has to foot the bill. It becomes his proud duty to give the girl a good send-off. And what greater pleasure and happiness than planning the invitations for the wedding?
Well, you please yourselves, but if you ask it now, Florrie, I stop at home. And before you write any more names down, will you kindly remember it's my money you're spending?
Hush, Dad, you'll upset her.
And I thought you said it was going to be a quiet wedding. 6 from each side. That's all it was going to be. The way you're going on, it only needs 2 more, and they won't be able to hold us in the Westminster Abbey. And it's no use, sir, rushing upstairs in tears. No good of that. I've not got over that wedding dress you let me in for. Wreath and veil and 35 yards of tulle. Going mad.
Well, she's got to be dressed right to be married proper.
Married proper, aye. I was married in a sports jacket, but I couldn't get out of it.
It is amazing that the most carefully planned wedding always finishes up in a last-minute panic. But through it all, the bridegroom, he seems to remain cool, calm and collected. Mother! Mother! Can you come a minute? I can't find my clean vest. Oh, dear. I'm going to be in a right mess with this lot. Look at the time. Where's my cufflinks? 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 Oh, shit! Oh, I've got them on. I'll never do it. Never do it. Is there nobody can give me a hand? Stuck here on me Todd Sloan and not one of them to help me. And where's the best man? Fat lot of good ears. He'll be downstairs supping sherry. I was a fool to ask him. Oh, look at this hat. Somebody's been sat on it. Woo! Woo! Get down! Get down! Can't somebody take this dog out of here? Well, would you credit it? That's me back stood under the wardrobe now. Well, that does it. They can think what they like. I'm going back to bed. If that's the taxi, tell him I'll come on my bike.
Look, old man, there's been a bit of a slip-up. Can you fetch the bride as quickly as you can?
Not me. I thought the other taxi was bringing her.
No, he's had a puncture.
Well, she'll have to come on the bus. I've got a funeral at 2:30.
Mind you, it isn't over yet. There's still the wedding breakfast. We've all been invited to one of those. And what a mix-up that can be. By the time you've been slapped on the back by people you've never met and been introduced to people you'll never see again, tried to find your place at the table, scraped back your chair and toasted all and sundry, you've hardly put your knife and fork down when some cheerful Charlie bangs on the table and calls for a speech from the bride's father.
I want to say that, Mother and I, or mother and me, very proud to I'm just a bit stuck here. Or gained a son. Here. I'm going to say this to Jack, and it's no use her glowering at me. Always remember these words. I shudder to think what you're up against. You've only got to look at the price of carpets, and they'll not last you. Marriage is no picnic these days. I don't envy either of you, and I hope you'll both be very happy.
But, after all, marriage is the escape to happiness, and we all treasure the joy of a happy home, particularly when there's the pitter-patter of tiny feet. How peaceful after a trying day to relax in that armchair with us children safely tucked in bed. How much longer are we going to have to put up with this? Like I said, we'd have been better off with a set of jugs. There's nothing wrong with her, nothing at all. Spoiled, that's what she is, absolutely ruined. I blame your mother for this. I'll stop coming home. Just listen to that temper. Just listen to that temper. More than flesh and blood can stand. Just let me hear you say once more she could do with a little sister.
Such is life. Life is what you make it. Such is life. Show them you can take it on the chin with a grin when Mr. Gloom comes around. Don't let him in.
Life's that way. Today you're feeling happy, but tomorrow joy may turn to strife. One thing I found out, there's nothing you can do about it.
Such is life.
Half hour, we've been looking at life through the pages of the Owl Reacher. Al asked us to say how nice it's been sharing the fun with the Cordites, Philip Towski and the augmented Northern Variety Orchestra, and to thank Ken Fritz, Tony Fain and David Evans for coming along and making it all worthwhile. Incidental music was by Alan Ainsworth, and the program, which was recorded, was produced in the north of England by Ronnie Taylor.